In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 We can't say it enough. It's the balm of Ingilead, the water to a parched tongue, the stream in the desert, the light at the end of the tunnel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. A joy-filled proclamation, a mystery we don't understand, can't understand, weren't designed to understand, yet it rings true to our world-weary souls. How different this joyful exclamation is from the words the risen Jesus heard from Mary Magdalene. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You see, Mary was caught up in extreme grief, and she was traumatized. Her mind is fixed in a frantic loop. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? The first time she says this is after she runs to the disciples' safe house to report this newest insult. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. The second time she says it, she is unable to see straight because of the overwhelming and disorientating grief she is feeling. She is turned in on herself. You've been there yourself, probably. She misses the angels dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been laid. Woman, they ask, why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord. Then she sends us another person with her and turns around. Her grief is like an all-consuming force, turning her in on herself, blinding her to reality, trapped in grief, in thinking nothing would ever be normal again. She assumes the man is the gardener or even the thief. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have. First words spoken to the resurrected Christ certainly are a long way from how we greet him today. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. You see, Mary was caught up in a vision of the crucifixion. Crucifixion vision affects many of us a lot of the time. It is a way of seeing and perceiving the world that makes us think that sin and death are in charge. The vision of crucifixion tricks us into wanting to go back to the past, to the good old days, as though the human condition has taken a dramatic plunge into the deep. And this has been the case since we were children. The vision of crucifixion is what fuels our greed. We can never have quite enough to be really financially secure, can we? The vision of crucifixion is what binds us in sadness when we take on everything personally, and that we are responsible for everyone else's well-being. The vision of crucifixion assumes that nothing will ever change in our politics, that the divide of the political parties is too great, that the world is divided between the elite and the oppressed, between the haves and the have-nots, between the workers and the owners, between the educated and the uneducated, between worthy and unworthy. The vision of crucifixion says the world is filled with winners and losers. First, better do everything we can to be winners. The vision of crucifixion assumes death is really the end, so we should fill our lives with as much stuff and as much pleasure and as much happiness as we can, and try to postpone death as long as possible with whatever means are available. Mary was caught up in the vision of crucifixion. And we can understand that. Jesus had died. She was in blaming mode. Who took his body? She was paralyzed and stuck. She couldn't get up and leave the scene. Like Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, she didn't have access to the wonder and curiosity of why the linen cloths were rolled up so nicely in the corner of the tomb. Mary was trapped by the vision of crucifixion, like most of us are, most of the time. So much so that she couldn't see the angels in front of her. Mary couldn't even recognize the resurrected Christ in her midst. Until Mary, until she heard her name. Do not hold on to me, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And then her vision of crucifixion fell away, like the scales on St. Paul's eyes, and she saw for the first time with the vision of resurrection. The vision of resurrection is bigger than the vision of crucifixion. It overtakes it. It redeems it. The vision of resurrection is looking away from ourselves to take the beauty of a flower, or the sunrise, or the subtle sensation of breath. Inhale and exhale, giving us life. The vision of resurrection enables us to trust that all things, work together for the good for those who are called to God's purposes. The vision of resurrection knows that joy comes in the morning, and even though weeping is spending the night. Resurrection vision is always open to being surprised by God. Because of our resurrection, because of resurrection, God is a God of surprises. Surprise! God often uses the least qualified, least educated, least righteous, least good people to be his ministers in the world. Just ask Moses, a man who had a fear of public speaking. Just ask the boy David, the youngest of all the brothers who used the slingshot. David, after he experiences God's mercy, post-rendezvous with Bathsheba. Just ask Paul, who had been a violent persecutor of Jesus' way. Crucifixion vision sees nothing but a single dead grain of wheat, thinking, surely that won't be enough. Resurrection vision waits for the surprise. Now the green blade rises from the buried grain, with bread for the world. The only vision of God is resurrection vision. God sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, that's crucifixion vision, but that the world might be redeemed through him. Surprise. You see, if you only have crucifixion vision, you can't see the surprise. You can't even wait for the surprise. You can't trust that the surprise is happening. Here, now, by definition, beyond all you can ask or imagine. But if you have resurrection vision, you know that God, that with God, all things are possible. You know you aren't the center of the universe. You know that love wins. You know that there are no more haves and have-nots, conservatives or labour, city people or country people, rich or poor, slave or free, Jew or Greek, black or white. We are all one in Christ. But here is the really good bit. If you can't seem to fix your vision, if the optician is closed, God fixes it for you. God will seek you out, just as he did the lost sheep, the slaves in Egypt, the woman at the well. God will seek you out and remind you that you can't, in fact, weren't meant to hold on, because God is holding on to you. God is drawing you up from the grave, offering you free cataract surgery or just an updated optical prescription. Whatever it is that you need to see straight, to see with resurrection eyes. It might take a while for you to see as God sees, to love as God loves. Remember that story in Mark where Jesus spits into his hands, smears it on the blind man's eyes. At first the people looked like trees, so Jesus laid his hands on him again. And then his sight was clear. It might take a little time, a few attempts, but friends, rest assured, God is at work in our midst. Meeting you just where you are, holding you, healing you, and indeed the whole of creation, so we can see through resurrection eyes. Surprise. Amen.